My family and I, we tried to set a trend, get everybody to come to the middle. It worked like most of my trends have in life. Amen. It's so good to see you. God is good, isn't he? Amen. What a blessing it is to have this place to come to, Brother Ike. This is spur of the moment. He just called me a few hours back. But I thank God I've had something on my heart. Never preached what I'm going to share with you tonight. So I'm just going to share with you a few thoughts from the Word of God. If you will, open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. John, chapter number 20. I was going to give the message a title. I usually try to give my messages a title. It helps people remember them. I can't remember, but maybe it'll help them. I believe I would entitle it, "Oh Say, Can You See?" Oh Say, Can You See? Well, Jesus thought seeing was an important thing. He opened the eyes of many blind people. John chapter 3, he said this in verse 3. He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He didn't say he wouldn't see the kingdom of God. Didn't say that he didn't care to see the kingdom of God. He said he could not see the kingdom of God. And so we're going to do a little word study tonight. You know, I love the King James Bible. That's my Bible. Amen. Now, if somebody else likes something different, that's their business. I won't argue with them. But I know one thing, no other translation of the Bible has the beauty of the King James Bible.
Right.
And I do not care which modern version you use or which one you go to, you will never get to the depth of the original language of the Bible.
Right.
Whether it's King James, NIV, or some of this other stuff floating around today. You know, we used to keep people together in church because when we opened the Bible to read it, it was naturally assumed and always was that we were reading from a King James Bible. Now when you go somewhere different, you don't know what you're going to hear from.
Right.
But I don't want to belabor that point. What I'm saying is that to study the Bible in depth, you have to do word study. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, this idea about seeing. Can you see, and how do you see? In John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark." It wasn't daylight, it was still dark. "Unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth." Now notice, when she spotted that thing was open, it shocked her and she took off. "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." Now there's a key there. If you read the Gospels more than once, you ought to know who that is. It's always the way that John the Apostle referred to himself. "The disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. And we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple," which of course would be John, "and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together." There was a foot race going on. "And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre." So John must have been fleet of foot. Now we know that Peter had good reflexes. They often responded poorly, but I would never would have thought he'd have been slow, but something kicked John into another gear, and he outran Peter and got there first. And he, John, stooping down and looking in, here's your first word, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and here's your second word, seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, who was who? John, which came first to the sepulchre, and he, here's your third word, saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he, Jesus, must rise again from the dead.
Amen.
Now, how marvelous that is, that here at the tomb, finding the body gone, yet they did not comprehend what Jesus had told them on more than one occasion, and he'd even told the religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees, that he would lay down his life and that he would raise it again after 3 days and three nights. And so it says, yet they knew not. Well, I know that that's accurate, but it's probably accurate in a context. You see, in John 14, when Jesus told the disciples, he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then he said this, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Well, Thomas stepped right up, and he said, Lord, now I want to tell you something. This other bunch of boys over here might know what you're talking about, but I got to be honest with you. I don't know where you're going, and I don't know how to get there. Well, now you've got to admire that honesty, don't you? And so it must have been very, very important unto him. Well, so Jesus said, you know. Thomas said, I don't know. Well, who was right? Well, the reality is both of them were right. Jesus knew that Thomas knew. Thomas didn't know that he knew. And so these boys here, they knew about his resurrection and his prophecy from the dead, but had never become a reality and a truth to them until this point in time.
That's right.
Amen. So sometimes we can know stuff without knowing it. Amen. But God is able then to bring it to our memories and our consciousness. Amen?
Right.
Well, now, Brother Danny read the scripture there in the hymnal from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And there in verse 7 it says this, for we walk by faith, but not by sight. Amen. It's interesting how the Bible compares those two. And so, as in these boys' situations, something has to happen in our lives, somewhere in our experience, to turn our vision into faith. Amen. And so that's why I'm focusing on these words here tonight. Verse number 5, we see the word saw. Verse number 6, we see the word seeth. Verse number 8, once again, we see the word saw. Now, I'm not a very bright boy, but I believe I know what those words mean. Amen? I don't have any doubt that you don't have a problem comprehending that either. But the reality of it is, because this is the Word of God and the way that God ordained and inspired it to be written, in reality, all three of these words are different words. Amen? Oh, that's the depths of the Word of God. I've been saved 44 years. Been preaching 42. I'm still finding stuff out.
Thank you,
amen. That's it. And so we see this idea of the ability to see. Now, the first that we see in the example of John in verse number 5 says, he stooped down, he outran Peter, and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Well, that word there to see has the idea of seeing simply with observation. You see something, you don't try to figure it out, you don't try to elaborate on it, you don't try to comment on it, you just see something, and that's the plain fact and situation, amen. I could say here, hey, I think I see a spider on Elizabeth's shoulder. Well, now that's just a statement of fact. Well, thank goodness it's a statement of fantasy right now. If it was fact, we'd be having to run her down because she doesn't like spiders any more than I do, amen. But that's what that word means. It means to simply look upon something. So what did he do? He looked upon, he saw, he observed the linen clothes lying. So there's only three things we can say about John and his observation. First, we see him leaning, we see him looking, and we see him lingering. The openings to these sepulchres were normally 3 to 4 feet high, and you'd have to bend down to look in. Now, it's interesting that he outran Peter, but he didn't go in. He stopped. Now, why do you think that is? That shows you how much he knew about Peter's personality and character. He stopped. Now, you know that tomb was sealed by the Romans, and no man had the authority to open that seal, but it's gone. The stone is rolled away, amen. And so, no doubt, as he was flying up there as fast as he could get, all of a sudden, something dawned on him, and he locked her down, put the brakes on. And he looked in, but he didn't go in, because he knew Peter was right behind him, and he knew well enough that, hey, if there's some kind of trap set here, or something ain't right, Peter will just barrel off in there, amen. And what did he do? He did exactly that, didn't he? Amen. And so no doubt he was afraid to go in. No doubt for reasons that others might think. But he lingered. He did not go in. Why? Well, he had to have some kind of fear about going in that place. But he did muster up the nerve to at least look in there. And when he did, he simply observed the linen clothes lying. Well, he didn't at that point in time try to draw no conclusion. He didn't try to figure nothing out. He just made a simple statement. I came, I looked, and I saw. I saw the clothes, and I saw them lying. And that's a significant word, and we'll deal with that in a minute. But then we come to the next word, Verse 6 says that Peter came following him, and he, as John figured he would, went into the sepulcher, and he seeth. Once again, a different word for seeing. The linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, this word that is to see is not a word that is a vision of observation, but it now is a vision of evaluation. The original word here that is translated is the word from which we get our word theory. And so to see with this type of eye means to not only observe something and see what's before you, but it's to evaluate it to the degree that you come up with a theory about why it's like this.
Yeah.
And you notice that it goes into a little more elaborate description of what Peter saw than what John saw. And so this type of seeing, I would simply say, means to study. To study something, amen. Well, now, to study something, first thing you've got to have are the facts. Well, John's already provided that with his observation, hadn't he? He's looked in there. He's seen the linen clothes. He's seen that they are lying. And he's established that fact, amen. Now, Peter comes along. He not only sees that, but he also sees the napkin that was about the head of Jesus, and it was wrapped together in a place by itself. Another one of the Gospels says it was folded. And so Peter, and you got to admire this about Peter, he often moved or was motivated before he did the proper study. But it would appear here that Peter has been to school and he's learned something. He has learned to study before he is motivated, amen. And so the word implies that he is coming to a theory, an evaluation about what he is seeing. Now, to me, one of the first things he has to deal with is what I call the problem of impracticality. And here it is. What was the tale that was told about the missing body of Christ? It was stolen. The disciples took it, amen. Huh? Well, see, there are only three groups of people in the Scripture who would have any interest at all in the body of Jesus Christ. Number one was the disciples. But where are they at? The Bible says here, they don't even understand the concept of the resurrection the third day, so they're not even near. They're off somewhere else to the point that Mary Magdalene has to run and get them. And so it would be impractical for them to steal the body. The Jews, if they stole the body, which would serve no purpose, all they would have had to done to extinguish the Christian sect was to produce the body of Christ, and Christianity would have ended right there. So it's impractical that they stole the body or they would have produced the body.
Yeah, right.
The only other party that might have any interest at all would have been the Romans. Pilate was concerned with one thing. Always remember this. preventing any disturbance or riots in Jerusalem. That was his job. By the way, he lost that job not too long after the resurrection of Christ. So why would they steal the body? If they stole it, they would have no reason to hide it, because it would eventually fuel the fires that would threaten the very Roman Empire. Just doesn't make any sense. And so it is impractical that that body was stolen, or that that grave was robbed. Why? Because had they robbed the grave, anybody, either party, would have not left the clothes behind. They would have grabbed that body in those linen clothes and they'd have run off with that thing as fast as they could. Yeah. But instead, there the clothes lie. It's impractical to think that the grave was robbed. But not only that, he has to deal with the problem of impossibility. Now, I talked about that word lying there. What that word means is that these linen clothes were lying just like they were. And so the impossibility that Peter has to deal with is this. How did that body come out of those clothes and leave him laying just like he was still in there, like a cocoon? Son, I can't do it. You can't do it. But son, Peter had to deal with that. There they were. And so he begins to study that thing. He says, you know what? Something here is abnormal. Something here is unnatural. I better study this thing. But then he had to deal with the problem of impatience, I call it. Who would have stole the body and then taken the napkin that was around his head and folded it up and put it in a different place? No, they would have been impatient. They would have, the important thing was the body, wasn't it? It wasn't the clothes. So why take the time to fish him out of the clothes, fold the napkin up, and lay it in a separate place, not where it would ordinarily be, by his head? That's what it means. You wouldn't have that kind of patience. You would be impatient. And so Peter said, you know, I believe I'll just study this thing here. Why? Because something is not making natural sense. Now, if it's not making natural sense, it must be making supernatural sense. Amen. And so we see the final use of that word in verse 8, that John went in, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw. Now, this time, the result of his sight was faith. He believed. Brothers and sisters, that's where you and I need to get to. And so our sight should bring us from observation to evaluation to a realization. And that's what this word means right here. It means to see something with complete understanding about what you see. John didn't try to figure it out before. But son, when he got in there after Peter and he got to looking at that thing and putting two and two together, son, he came up with four. Hey man, he said, you know what? I understand this. I know what happened. Amen.
That's right.
Glory to God. Ooh. Now, Paul said something very interesting in Romans chapter 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Yes.
To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, amen. Then he says something else. He talks about moving from faith, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, listen now, from faith to faith. Simon, when Peter and John got to that tomb, they had a little faith. But by the time they left that tomb, son, they had a great faith. A faith that made a difference in their lives.
Yeah.
So I ask you, oh say, can you see? He arrives in fear, but he accepts the facts, and he ascends to faith. Amen. Yeah. I'll never forget. Fireman lost. Another fireman. Jack Taylor comes up to me, and he opens up a Bible. Well, I wasn't wanting to see that. Why? I didn't know nothing about the Bible. Didn't know nothing about God. Very best that I could do with myself would be embarrassed myself, so it scared me. So he opened up the Bible. Romans chapter 10. He's a young Christian. He didn't know nothing. But he was trying to communicate to me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he simply asked these words, have you ever read this in Romans 10? 8, 9, and 10. For this is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
You know what I did? I saw that verse, but all I did was observe that verse.
Yeah.
It didn't mean nothing to me. I didn't try to figure it out. And I didn't want to try to figure it out. And I didn't want him telling me nothing about it. I just made a simple observation. Amen.
Yeah.
But then glory to God, as God allowed different circumstances to occur in my life and me come to into access of different aspects of the gospel in Christ, God brought me back to a place of evaluation and in evaluating faith and looking at the facts and trying to put them together to have a real meaning. Amen. You need to understand something. Darkness cannot comprehend light. And that was the state that we were in. So I began to move from a vision of observation to a vision of evaluation. And finally coming to a vision of realization. I see the facts. I'm understanding what they mean now. And I realize that it's God's word. And that he'll save me if I asked him.
Amen.
That's moving from sight to faith. Hallelujah.
Amen. See it, brother.
And so, here's the conclusion that John came to. He's alive. He's gone.
Body wasn't there, was it?
But he's coming back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Where do you see that, preacher? I see it in the napkin.
Yes.
You see, any Hebrew man who had a servant that waited on him would set his table. He would sit down to eat, no one else. He'd have a napkin. And he'd eat his meal. Now, there came a point in time where that master of the house wiped his mouth and balled the napkin up, kind of like Ann does. She balls her napkin up in a little snowball and throws it on the table and gets up and leaves. It means this. It means I'm through and I won't be back. But if that master takes that napkin and he folds that napkin and he lays it down there on the table and gets up and leaves, it means I'm going, but I'm a coming back. I'm a coming back. And I'm going to finish what I started. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
That's it, brother. Good word.
So we see vision of observation, vision of evaluation, vision of realization. But I want to show you one other, what I call the vision of adoration. Now this is your next step. The book of 1 John, written by this same disciple. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Oh, I love this. I feel sorry if people don't love the Word of God. It feeds my soul. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. What a way to begin a letter. He doesn't say, hey, brothers, this is John. He doesn't say, grace and truth be unto you, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. No salutation, nothing like that. Look how he begins. That which was from the beginning. Now what is that? That is a statement of fact. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now look. Which we have seen.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Now, you know what that word to see means there? It means to stare. It means to stare for the purpose of examination. Or what's another word we could use? Study. Son, I want to tell you something. You come to know Him, the one object of your life ought to be to study Him, to learn a little more about Him. Jesus said, come unto me. He said, learn of me. Amen. That's what it means. And so we see the picture of one who is gazing, staring, studying with absolute adoration for the one that they're beholding. Amen. So we should examine Him. How can you live for somebody you don't know? How can you live right for somebody that you don't understand? How can you live with somebody and walk with somebody that you know very little about? It's an absolute impossibility, isn't it? Amen. We need to examine Him and get to know Him. Just keep looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
And after we examine Him, and we need to exalt Him. We need to worship Him.
Amen.
No man ever realized who Jesus was, who came to Jesus, that didn't fall down at His feet.
Amen.
Even John, that walked with Him, ate with Him, talked with Him. When he saw Him in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I fell at His feet like a dead man.
That's right. Yeah.
Why? Because of His glory, because of His person, because of who He is and what we now know about Him. Hallelujah. I know more today than I did 44 years ago when God saved me.
Amen.
And so it's not a problem for me to adore Him.
Amen.
Why do we come to church on the Lord's Day on Sunday? We don't come to be seen. We don't come to be heard. But we come to adore Him, like the Christmas song says. Amen. It's about Him. And when church becomes anything other than about Him, it ain't no more church. Amen. It's become a social club.
Amen.
And a sham. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I think about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Son, they had stoned him with stones. They had chewed on him like a bone. And he was dying, and he looked toward heaven and he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. And so he could say, I wasn't in the sepulcher. I didn't see the clothes. I didn't see the napkin. I was not there, but I won't tell you something I can see.
Yeah, that's right.
Therefore, I can adore him. We should examine him. We should exalt him. And we should expect him. Son, if he said, I'm going to come out of that grave, and he did, then when he said, I will come again,
that's it.
He will come
Amen.
Again. God bless you.